I was sharing earlier with some folks as I was running in that my sermon was complete early yesterday, which is a blessing. And I read it, sounded good as I read it, so I had some dinner, sat down, and then I stood up actually because I read it out loud to my cat, usually a couple times on Saturday night. And I read it out loud, and it was horrible. So, all night long, I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with how to put this together. And it's funny because all week long, I had a conversation on my heart. There was a conversation I had with a friend years ago that has been on my heart. And I took that conversation out of the sermon, and that's why it stunk. And I wanted to be true to God, and but I didn't want to share this story with all of you. But you know what? God kept speaking, and I finally listened. And so I'm going to share a story that I really didn't want to share, but I know that this is what God would like for us to hear today. Today we celebrated the leadership of 2015 and years previous and passed the baton to the new leadership of 2016. Each gift is important among us. We hope that this church is a safe place for people to use their gifts and develop their gifts so that they may use the gifts here, but also in the outside world. Unfortunately, some of our church and society have gifts but don't realize they have them, because they are starting from a different place. In preparation for this week's talk, I had a conversation several years ago that has been haunting me. This conversation was about my child, but ultimately, it was a wake-up call for me, and I recognized that I carry with me, even though I don't want to, I carry white privilege. I'm embarrassed to say it. I'm appalled that it exists in our society. But there it is. I hope in recognizing this privilege that I can do everything in me to stop it. And I can do anything to stop it in others. So let me tell you about the conversation. I have a friend who challenged me a few years back. My daughter was going to audition for the musical at her school. Well, the year before, she was not yet in the high school, they had put on a production of The Wiz. And there was not one African-American cast member in this production. If you don't know, The Wiz is a musical that is based off of a book by William F. Brown. It is a retelling of L. Frank Baum's classic 1900 children's novel, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. But it's told in the context of modern African American culture. It opened in October of 1974 in Baltimore, Maryland, and it was made into a movie in 1978. Well, at my daughter's school the year before, The Wiz had an entire cast of white students. So my friend challenged me, asking why I would encourage my daughter to audition for this musical. The friend said, she should step aside to make room for another. I told my friend, but there probably wasn't enough African Americans in the school to fill the play. I know the director, she's a wonderful person. And my friend said, the white students should have stepped aside and made room. I said, do you mean not trying out? My friend said, let all the African Americans try out first. Then if the cast is not full yet, let the white students try out. I said, I don't know how many African American students would want to be in the musical. And my friend said, they may not even realize they can, because they have not seen many role models, people who look like them, up on the stage in that high school. Unfortunately, we are starting from a different place. There are always white students in the musicals at school, at this school. 90% of the students are white. The African-American students may not know they are welcome to try out because they have not seen anyone that looks like them up on the stage in a musical. Or they may not want to get involved and be treated unkindly. Or there may be hundreds of other reasons that I know nothing about because of my starting place, my background, and my experience. I don't know of another's experience or their heart, and I shouldn't even try. Have you heard of the African-American ballet dancer, Misty Copeland? She speaks of this. I saw an interview in which she talked about not having role models in ballet that looked like her. She has struggled and been put up against many obstacles and stereotypes that would not have been there if she were white. And of course, we have heard all about the Oscars this year and the conversation around that. As a white person, there's the whiz. As a white person with many gifts and talents, I need to recognize there are others who have gifts and talents. And until the world is a place that has 100% equality and justice, I need to step aside and make room for someone who happens to be born African, Asian, Latino, Native American, Indian from India, any of these descents, so that all people have role models and opportunities. Have you ever seen the image of the three children on the box, on the boxes, trying to watch the ball game? The first image is of the children on boxes. The children are all different heights, but the boxes are all the same heights, and it's labeled equality because all the boxes are the same. But the next image has the boxes arranged differently. The child that is tallest doesn't have a box, doesn't need a box. The middle height child is on one box, and the shortest child is on two boxes. And they have shifted the boxes around, not equally, but in justice. To make things equal for all, we need to recognize this and make adjustments within ourselves. This conversation with my friend was so hard to have, but I'm glad it happened. This conversation has haunted me because of this week's text out of Luke. The Gospel of Luke was written as a historical telling of the Christian movement, but according to the author's point of view and agenda. We all know how that can go. Much of history has been written from the perspective of the white man in control during the history writing. I remember my daughter coming home one day, I think she was in third grade, and saying, "Do you know the word history is his story?" And I said, "I did know that, and I'm so glad you know that now too." The author of Luke was mostly speaking to a Gentile audience living under Roman rule, but wanted to emphasize the role of the Holy Spirit and Jerusalem, such as in our scripture today, regarding the Isaiah text. It seems strange that Jesus read the scripture and then sat down that day. It almost reminds me of the comedians. I don't know if you have seen these comedians that say something really funny at the end of their skit, and then they just drop the mic. It's the drop the mic moment for Jesus. He reads the scripture, and it's so profound. He drops the mic, and he goes and sits down. But this actually was a commonplace practice. The guests would generally be asked to come and read the scripture in Jesus' day, and then the guest would sit down with the group and teach. Jesus spoke quite boldly in this. Instead of sitting down to teach, he just laid it out there. He said, from the Message translation, which we read today, Then he started in, "You've just heard scripture make history. It came true just now in this place." And the NRSV translation reads, "Then he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" The word "today" indicates actualization. It has come true. Isaiah's text has come true. The prophecy fulfilled. And then the other part. "In your hearing." This was meant to say, you may hear this today, but you may not accept what you have heard. Sometimes as leaders, we have to say things, be bold in our speech, even if others are not ready to accept it. I didn't really want to hear that I needed to make room for another because of my race, especially when it came to my child. But I did. I did need to hear it. And I'm thinking about the conversation 3 years later. I'm still wrestling with the content. I'm now ready to accept the truth. Today we heard Paul speaking to the Corinthians and us about the importance of each of us in the church, in the body of Christ. We also heard Jesus speak boldly to the group in Nazareth, and it is unclear if they were ready to hear what he had to say, because all it says is they looked intent at him. But this is not the end of the story. These texts are only part of the story. So you will have to come back next week to hear the rest. This conversation is to be continued.